Blog Talk Radio.
Promise you,
worship you, Lord, because you've been a mighty God. You've been a God to slow to anger and quick for mercy. We thank you for it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a God who will not hold our fault against us, but you have your tender mercy. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we're happy to have each and every one of you guys. Hallelujah. We have a whole lot going on this morning, but God is good. And somebody said all the time, hallelujah. We'll have a word of prayer. And after we have a word of prayer, then we're going to get into the lesson. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says that men should always pray and not faint. And we come praying, Father God. And in our prayer, we thank you from keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger. So I come to you now in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and he is our Savior. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to put a hedge around and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. I thank you, Father God, first of all, for doing that, because you are the God that protects us like we protect our animals. You're the God, Father God, that protects us like we protect our homes. You're the kind of God, Father God, that protects us as we protect our cars. So we thank you for your protection. We thank you for building a hedge around us. We thank you, Father God, for giving us the Holy Spirit to help us to protect our business, to protect our ministry, to protect those loved ones that we have in and around our lives, the places that we go to and fro, our home. We thank you, Father God, because you have become our protector, and we realize it. So we just want to say thank you for it. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for the word, because it's in your word, Father God. We learn whose we are and who we are. And we learn forgiveness, Father God, because it's in your word, Father God, that you have forgiven us. And we receive that. We're not fighting. We're not, you know, going, but we're not going against you. We thank you for letting Jesus die for us. Father God, right now, we come worship. We thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you, Father God, that we don't have to come in fear, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So I thank you for it. I thank you for healing those that have asked for healing, and those, Father God, that have been sick and they've asked for healing. Jesus is the Lord of our life. He, sickness and disease has no power over us because we've been forgiven. And we're free from that sin of guilt. We're dead to sin, but alive to your righteousness, according to Colossians 1:21-22. Jesus bore our sin, so we don't carry our sins. Therefore, I'm dead to sin, but alive unto your word, Father God. And it's by his stripes we are healed. Psalms 107:20 declare that you have bore our sickness and you have carried our pain. Therefore, all we have to do is claim it. All we have to do is receive it. Evil will befall us. No plague shall come near us. Everything's happening to us, it is for our good. We're not trying to explain it. All we can tell people is that it is for our good. We curse and every tumor every growth, everything that's like darkness and sin, every organ, every tissue, every body function, we cast it down. That's not of you. We cast it down in the name of Jesus right now. And we magnify your word. And we want your word always to be over whatever we think. We want your word to be over what we feel. And we definitely want your word to be over what we think, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom to know the difference, that it's not about our feelings, that it's about what your words say. And with that being said, Father God, we ask you to open up revelation knowledge this hour to those that are asking for revelation knowledge. We ask you to do this in the mighty name of Jesus. And for his sake, we pray. And everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, this week, brothers and sisters, we covered quite a few things. We talked about Hebrews 4:16, and we used for a subject this week, faith in this grace. And faith in this grace, we have forgiveness. We have power. Faith in this grace. And we're not talking about any grace. We're talking about a specific grace. We kind of made it clear one day this week that the word this is a specific, or it means something specific. So if you had money and you put it in this car and you tell someone the money is in this car, you're being specific. It may be this red car. It could be blue car, gray, black. But it's in this car, this red car. You're being specific. So we're talking about a specific grace. This grace that we talk about follows mercy. This grace that we're talking about, there is forgiveness in it. All we got to do is learn how to receive it. The Bible said we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we're going to get in a few of these scriptures, but anything anybody want to talk about, any of the days, Monday we talked about mercy. Tuesday, Pastor Bell, she went over some things with Ephesians 1:6-7. So we may hit back on that. Evangelist Sharon talked about the grace of God, and she quoted from what something I've said, she said. And so we'll talk about that. She quoted about the grace and mercy has to be behind us. You can't let Satan get between you and your mercy and God's grace. So that's pretty much what we were talking about when I made mention of it, is that what's behind you? Stop and think about it. Psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It never says Satan gonna follow you. He ain't supposed to be following you. So if you put Satan right behind you, and I understand what people say, you know, Satan get behind me, but put him behind your goodness and your mercy, because you want mercy and goodness right there. Because if you don't, Satan gonna always be yapping in your ear. He's gonna always be saying things. He going to be always accusing you. The book of Revelation says that Satan is the accuser of the brother. You know what that means? Everything you do, he's going to find fault in it. I don't care what you do, he's going to accuse you of it. And that's why it's important, our brothers and sisters, that we stay true to the word, and the word to stay true to us. Satan's supposed to accuse you, because he is the accuser of the brothers. Of the brothers, rather. He's going to accuse you. That's all he knew how to do, is lay blame. So what she was saying is that, this was on Tuesday, Evangelist Sharon had said something along the lines of, there again, she quoted, grace and mercy has to be behind us, but I'm going to a little bit more and say directly behind us. And then Satan needs to get behind that. Because, see, I know that all things are working together for my good. I ain't trying to figure it out. I'm not telling God, Lord, you shouldn't let this happen. No, Lord, thank you for the good, bad, and the ugly. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. That's what's hard for most of us. Lord, why should I be thanking you for this hard time? Because he's moving that to give you good time. And sometimes, and I got to be honest, you can't appreciate the good time till you had some hard time. You can't appreciate a good car till you had a bad car. I'm serious. So God allow us to go through some things. But remember this, he's protecting you. You got angels watching over you, okay? But anyway, so Wednesday, we got a little bit into Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. And we talked about the promises of God. Also, we didn't get into the multiplication, because that was something I really wanted to get into, was the multiplication, how God does things. Man, the way God operates in multiplication is crazy. I mean, it's crazy. He said one can put 1,000 demons to flight. Two can put 10,000. Did you hear that? Two can put 10,000. Now, I don't know what multiplication, but that's what the word say. So when he talk about multiplying us with grace, when he talked about multiplying us with peace, whoo, I love God's multiplication, man, because he's been the Lord on you. When the Bible talk about riches, the riches of his grace, that's a whole lot. I looked up that word in the Hebrew, and it's a number you can't number. So it went beyond trillions and millions and billions, and it went way beyond millions and billions and trillions. It went to a number. I'm talking about being real rich now. You know, most people rich, they have their logo on something, they own a few jets and all that kind of stuff. But that's not rich. Rich when you own the whole country and everything in it. So God said this: the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So whatever he want to do with whatever in here, he can do it because he's rich. So he's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. I just love that. And Friday. So any of these things you want to talk about, anyone, just press 1 and we'll get into some of it. If not, I'm just going to be led to go to whatever scripture the Lord leads me to go to. And I think, but meanwhile, we didn't really get into mercy like I wanted to. And I kind of wanted to get into mercy a little bit, because God is a merciful God. I remember when, what is that? Well, let me see if anybody... Okay, just press 1. If you want to share something at this particular time, just press 1. If not, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're talking about faith in this grace. Faith in this grace comes with mercy. And I like God's kind of mercy. I love God's kind of mercy. Man, it ain't no mercy like God's mercy. Mercy, when I think of mercy, and I know some education level far greater than mine, and that's fine. But when I think about mercy, I think about blessing. That is a blessing, of that of a divine favor. That's what I think. I think mercy offers to us power, because it's compassion, it's forbearing, and mercy is like for instance, if death is imposed on you, the death penalty, mercy say, you know what? You're not going to die. Whew, right? That does something to me. I mean, even somebody say, well, you know what? You're going to die because you're guilty in the first degree. Mercy say, no, it won't be the first degree. It won't be the second degree. I'm talking about God kind of mercy. God's mercy say, go and sin no more. God's mercy say, where are thou accusers? Y'all don't hear me yet, but you're going to hear it in a moment. See, God's mercy is different than man's mercy. All we've been taught is man's mercy. Because most man's mercy teaches from the courthouse perspective. But man, God's mercy, it adds kindness. He's not angry at you because of something that you didn't have control over. So he adds grace with it. That's what I like about God's mercy. Grace come along with it. Kindness come along with it. Gentleness come along with it. Compassion come along with it. See, God's mercy is not like, well, okay, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to get you out of jail, boy. But you better not do this. See, that's not God. God's mercy is soft. It's goodwill. God's mercy is meekness. It's love attached to God's mercy. It is favor. Why am I telling you all this? Because you're going to see in a little while, I'm going to share some scriptures, and it's going to bless you, man, because you're going to see this demonstrated. You're going to see how God demonstrates his mercy. I mean, his mercy lasts forever. It's everlasting. So it's always there. Let me get some papers here. As I used to say in the church, do I have a witness? Let me get some witness here. Matter of fact, I think I'd just rather get the scripture. He says, I'm going to go ahead and read it for you guys. And for myself, I love to hear the word of God. I don't know about nobody else. But in Psalms, praise God. I just love it when God allow the enemy to get over. He ain't getting over. I'm telling myself, when things happen to me, God signed it. Ain't nothing happening to me that God didn't allow. That's the way we got God thinking. Start thinking, whatever going on, God allowed it. God allowed that. So when he says in Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I want you to stop right there. The word surely is guaranteed. That's a guarantee that goodness is following you. So stop looking at that stuff following you. It's goodness. You may not understand why it's good, because it looks bad, it looked this way. But let me tell you, that's goodness following you. And mercy. Goodness is his favor. That's God's grace. That's what goodness is. It's following you. So we get there. And it's take care of business. The God says, okay, I'm going to have mercy on you. And the judge may say, well, no, they need to have death on them. God said, well, I'm having mercy. And then the judge said, well, mercy ain't going to pay the bill. That's when the goodness kick in. That's when grace kicked in. And said, Jesus said, I died for it. I'm the mediator. I died for them. If it requires death, I'll pay it. I hope you all seeing that. He says, surely goodness and mercy. And I love the fact that goodness is there, because goodness is God's favor. That's his grace. That's powerful, brothers and sisters. Stop looking at yourself like you did yesterday, the day before. Stop it, I say. Look at it from a different perspective. God doing this because of your eternal life. There are some things that God let drop off of your life because he's taking you to eternity. And the load is too heavy. Too much going on. So he's getting rid of a lot of stuff. And let me say this too, before I get too far into mercy. You will have distractions in your life. Things to distract you. Keep you from maybe reading the Bible. Keep you from going to the next level with God like you need to. Meditating. Had a sister tell me the other day, she says, you know, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, she didn't know. I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning praying. The Lord let me get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So get away from those people who brings distraction. But see, about 3 o'clock in the morning, a lot of distractions is gone. Between 3 and 4, a lot of distraction is gone. Yeah, those people that's getting ready to go to work, they ain't even got up yet. And if they are, they ain't made it out there yet. This lady used to tell me, smell the air early in the morning before the dirty people make it dirty. And I'm going to tell you, it's a big difference. But that opened my mind, that opened my understanding to know that there are distractions in our lives. And so God, get rid of them. We probably don't want them to go, but he have mercy on us. He let us, you know, cry but those are distractions. And God wants the distractions to go so we can focus on him, so we can focus on the word of God. You see? So that's very important. Don't miss that. Don't miss the fact that God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. And that's the part I like. It's like God is saying, you don't tell me what to do. This is my mercy. If I want to let her go, I'm going to let her go. So Jesus said to that woman, where's your accusers at? They've been accusing you. Where are they? She said, Lord, I don't know where they at. I don't see none. I don't have any. She said, neither do I. Go and see them more. See, that's mercy. That's God's kind of mercy. He could have scorned her. He could have beat her up. He could have said a lot of things, but he didn't do that. You know why? Because his mercy comes with generosity. His mercy comes with kindness. His mercy comes with being merciful. His mercy comes with compassion. Woo! Preach, I'm trying to do the best I can. His mercy is not like our human mercy. See, our mercy, we want to hold it up a hand like, okay, now I showed you mercy now. You know, hey, you owe me one now. You owe me one, evangelist. Yes, you owe me, pastor. Yes, you owe me, brother. You owe me, sister. You owe me. God's mercy is not like that. God's mercy comes with understanding. You was powerless in the situation, so I understand. His mercy is gentle. That's why I like his mercy, because it comes with grace. That it comes with that sufficient grace. That grace says that, excuse me, that grace that says, it's okay. I got you. He's not going to beat you up with it. You know why? Because he always shows mercy. He always shows your enemy that he got you. See, that's what the devil don't like. So he keep on trying to throw stumbling blocks in your life. And I really don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord telling me to say this, so I'm going to say it. Because the enemy just it's like distraction for you. That's why you got to get him behind your grace and your mercy. Get him behind that. Don't put him directly behind you, because if he's directly behind you and you stop for a moment, he's going to hit you. And I'm going to tell you something else. See, the devil knew what you confessed the other day. He know what God done did for you. You may not believe that, because I was talking to somebody. They just don't believe that God done made them right. They don't believe. But the devil know he has. See, the devil knows, and we'll get into that another day, because the devil knows a whole lot of stuff, but he ain't going to tell you. Why should he tell you? You know, the devil's like the world. They making money. They going to tell you how they made it. They going to go on and get their millions and billions. Then they may give you. But they ain't been tell you nothing. They tell you how they got successful. They ain't been tell you. That's how the devil operates. So he's not going to tell you that you're the very righteousness of God. What he look like telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world? What he look like telling you, he's defeated in your life? The devil ain't finna tell you that, man. No, he's just going to give you distractions and keep those distractions. He's not going to tell you you're a spirit man. He's not going to tell you by his stripes you're healed. See, this is stuff you got to start believing on your own. You can't allow Satan to take that away from you. And for you not believing in it, like I'm talking about mercy, for instance. There's a lot of folks don't believe in God's mercy. Yeah, well, you know, I was so bad, I don't think God going to give me mercy for that. See, that's Satan's talk. If God's mercy is guaranteed, and you're going to turn around and say, no, Lord, that ain't for me, because I've been such a great sinner. I've been such a marvelous sinner that your mercy can't reach me. See, that's the kind of garbage Satan be. That's kind of old blaspheming stuff. He gets in your head. And you remember that drink you took? God ain't going to forgive you for it. I mean, he'll use anything simple. Now, it don't have no validity, don't have no substance. He'll just find anything to cause distraction. It don't even have to be anything good. The way you looked at, you know, you looked at that gentleman. And boy, I saw how you looked at it. Satan to take that and whoop your head with it if you allow that. He'll take it and what somebody else think, that what somebody else think, put it in your head and make you thinking what they thought that you thought. I know that was a bit much. I get it. But I want you to follow along with me here. That's how Satan operate, man. That is exactly. He just bring these thoughts. That's why the Bible says that you have to cast down every vain imagination and every high thought that exalt itself above the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You got to cast that stuff down. You can't just hold those thoughts because Satan brought them to you. No, you got to let them go. That ain't for me, Satan. No, that's not who I am. That's not what I am. God forgiving me, I'm accepting it. He took care of the sin problem. I don't have a sin issue. I have a receiving problem, and that's not really a problem because I'm going to receive. See? Listen, dear heart. If God can keep you asleep and not allow you to get up, I mean, if the devil can let you sleep and you don't get up, And seek God's face when you first get up, he'll do it. He'll give you every distraction there is. And some people think it's, TV and children. I mean, they'll give everything in the world for distraction. I'm not going to disagree with that. What I am going to say is this. You don't have to accept these distractions. I mean, I know probably just like some of you guys know, we get all kinds of distraction. Everything from suicide thoughts to you name it. Oh, a true Christian, they wouldn't do this. A true Christian. See, that's how he wanna deep downplay your confidence. Boy, you ain't got all this confidence because people say this or people, or you even know for yourself what's going on. And Satan will try to downplay that confidence. He'll try to downplay the fact that God is protecting you. He'll have people say all kinds of crazy stuff. Try to minimize what God has did for you. Why you think the Bible says beware? Beware. I love that word sometimes. I look up in the Bible. I mean, it's several places, Matthew 7, in the book of Colossians. Beware. What are you being aware of? Satan and his tricks? Satan and his lies? Oh, that wasn't meant for you, no way. That ain't for you. And he loved to get in your head and like I said, just cause distraction. Now, why I told you all that is because God said, you know what? I'm going to still have mercy on you. It's still going to follow you. It's still going to follow you. Surely. It's a guaranteed goodness and mercy. It's going to follow you. It ain't going nowhere. That's the part that jumped out at me. God said, look to your right, look to my right. He said, look to your left, look to my left. I looked back to the right, goodness was there. I looked to the left, mercy was there. And then God's voice said, surely, guarantee, it ain't going nowhere. So when you need it, it's available. Take advantage of it. When Satan tried to get you discombobulated with his thoughts, ask God for some of that mercy, some of that goodness. And he'll bring back to your memory certain scriptures. He'll bring back to your, the God himself want to visit you. The more you start believing him and believe that he exists, the more he can reward you. Why should he show up in your life when you don't believe in him? And you might associate God with something else. Folks don't believe in angels. Why? Because it'll kill some folks. They saw an angel to kill. That's why the angels always say, be not afraid. Hell. I mean, certain things. So you don't get bent out of shape. Because if you see a big booger there, you may jump through the door. And you may associate that with God's angels. So if he said he's put them to protect us, what you going to say? Well, I'm glad you asked. You going to say the same thing he said. That's what we're saying. We're saying the same thing the Word of God say. Like, for instance, one day, I think it was Tuesday, Pastor was talking about redemption. This is just a for instance. A lot of people don't believe in redemption. They'll say they do, but they don't. I know they don't because I listen to them talk. See, the Bible says that the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Just listen to them. You'll know if they believe or not. It's easy to tell because you got these doubters and you got these people who believe in redemption. And they don't know. They know. They know what redemption is. But Satan has distracted them with different kind of stuff to keep them from. Let me tell you, if nothing, brothers and sisters, know that you've been adopted, okay? Maybe you can say, because Jewish people have this thing, and then I was talking to somebody yesterday. They wanted to tell me about black, the physical, the flesh. And the Bible don't want us to know each other after the flesh. We have been adopted. There is an adoption here. I don't care what color you are, where you came from. God adopt us in his family. I don't care about you being from this tribe or that tribe. It doesn't matter. You're part of Christ's tribe now. You're part of Christ. And he had predestined. That's what the Bible says, predestinated. us to the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself. God adopted us. And you know why he did it? He did it for his good pleasure. So when somebody come to you with a lot of fleshly stuff, let them know you're spiritual. See, you're spiritual. But let me get back to the part that I was talking about, redemption. Pastor talked about a little bit. She was quoting a scripture from, I want to say it was Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Let's see, Pastor. Pastor, could you read Ephesians 1? I think you did verses 6 and 7. Out of the message.
All right, Pastor. good afternoon, everyone. Amen, amen. Okay. Ephesians 1. And let's see. Verse 7 from the King James, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And verse 8 says, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And from the Message Bible, Ephesians 1, and let's get to that verse to see. Ephesians 1 from the Message Bible, it reads, let's see, I had read 6. No, I had read 7 through 9. So from the Message Bible, it says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishment, chopped up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Amen, amen. So yes, we are abundantly free. Amen.
Amen, amen. And we have abundantly been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Freedom from any of that. Listen, brothers and sisters. Your rebirth meant you left the old birth. That's why you got born again. Let me say that one more time, because I don't want nobody to miss this. Why did you get born again? Because you didn't. The first one couldn't do it, but it took the second one. So in your redemption, or in the redemptive plan, not only with recreation, not only forgiveness, not only salvation, it was like purification. There was a cleansing in that. You got to know what's all up in that package.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Grace was in there. Restoration was in there. Sanctification is in your redemptive plan. You can wear the long dresses you want to wear. That don't make you sanctified.
That's right. Amen.
You can read all the books you want to read. That don't make you purified. Purification came by way of God's redemptive plan. And he have redeemed us. I think that was something I had listened to. It says, in whom we have redemption. That was the part that got me. In whom we have redemption. And then it proves it through his blood. The forgiveness, it says, even the forgiveness of sin. So not only that, but you've been not going to be, let me be clear, not it's going to happen over there. It's God already took care of the sin problem.
Thank you, Lord. People
don't believe in the redemption. Grace is bigger than sin. They don't believe that.
Have mercy.
Because they don't teach grace. They teach, we all have sinned and come short of, that's what they teach. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Like you were born in sin and you couldn't control it. You couldn't control your birth. You couldn't control being birthed. Tell me one person, I don't care how holy they are, what you think of, tell me one person that was born into this world and had control of their birth. If they be born in sin and not tell me one person.
Mm-mm. Because there isn't.
There isn't any.
Mm-hmm.
So you had no control of you being born in sin. But what God did was he allowed us to be born in and then rescued us through his grace. So he offered his grace to us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's the mystery there.
Hallelujah.
That's the mystery. That's the part that people don't teach us. That's the part that you're not understanding. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know what's in that mystery. I gave somebody a mystery bag one time. And they said, what is all in it? I said, you got to open it up. They found all kind of goodies up in there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the best I can. The Bible says, having made known unto us, he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purpose in himself. God got so much good stuff in that mystery bag, but you got to open it up to see what's in there.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, no, I know you're just waiting on me to open it up and tell you that goodness is in there. Love is in there. Mercy is in there. Being victorious is in there. Your anointing is in there. Y'all better stop me because I will go there. Grace and mercy is in
there.
Thank you, God's favor is in there.
Thank you, Lord.
That's in that mystery bag. That's in that mystery bag. All kinds of goodies. But you're going to have to open it up. I'm not opening it up for you. You're going to have to do that.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the kind of God we're serving, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to, since I don't know if anybody else want to share something this week that, want to share something from this week or just share something, period. The Lord put something in your spirit you might want to share. Open it up. I don't know. We're thankful. Now, I could go on and on. No, I'm just trying to allow some time for you guys to share something. And because it's our review. It's not just my review.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, I could go from Hebrews 4:1 and talk about, I can tell you 2 Peter 1:4, talk about the promises of God. And I told y'all, when God showed me about multiplication, y'all sure don't want me to go there.
Ooh.
When I think about God's grace and how he multiplied it.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
It blows my mind.
If God operates,
one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Think about it. And he's giving you mercy. And he says that you be that mercy be multiplied to you. So if God operating with two put 10,000. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
If that's the way God multiplies, you got grace you ain't even thought about yet. You got mercy you ain't even used yet. He said, may it be multiplied unto you. Multiplied unto you. You ought to have your hand raised straight up. Surrender.
Ooh,
you know,
that
when you put your hands in the air, that means you surrender.
Yes, hallelujah.
Don't fold your hand, put them up toward the air and say, God, I surrender to you. I surrender to your way, to your will. I surrender.
Lord.
You know, just like with the police, when the police tell you to put your hands in the air, they used to, I don't know, now it's been a long time. But that means that's a sign of surrender. When you look up toward heaven and put your hand, you're surrendering.
Hallelujah.
You just surrender. Hey, I ain't going to do nothing. I can't do anything. Learn to surrender to his mercy. Surrender to his grace. Just learn to surrender to him. Lord, if your word says that you redeem me, I'm surrendering to it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The reason people are not healed, they haven't surrendered.
Hallelujah. Thank
the
you,
reason
Lord.
You're not... You haven't, you got to surrender.
Yeah.
But anyone, just press one. Press one and I will. Pastor, will you have anything from last week that you want to share?
To share the, what 1 Peter 1:23, where it tells us being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Because you had brought that up one day last week also. Amen. And reading it from the New Living Translation, it says, for you have been born again, but not of a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Amen, amen. So, you know, no, we cannot be born again by entering into our mother's womb. We are born again by the word of God. And when you were talking about giving someone something and they had to look in there to see what's in there. I remember when you did the seminar and you gave us all little bags. And in those little bags, they had all kind of goodies in there. It had like the little notebook. They had ink pens in there. It had scriptures in there. They had little packages of Kleenex in there, you know. It had goodies inside that bag. And, you know, and I went there when you brought that out, and I said, wow, I remember Pastor giving us a bag, and it had basically everything we need to get in to study God's word. And so, you know, I'm just thankful that now that I know that, you know, yes, I'm born again by the word of God. Amen. And then when you were there to 2 Peter, and I'm going to read that third verse where it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. What a word. And then the New Living says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellency. What a word. Amen, amen. So I'm thankful for God's word and thankful for that divine power. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love it. All his honor, his glory, the anointing, all of that. Surely goodness, God's goodness, and his unfailing love will pursue us. Amen. And all we got to do is, as Pastor said, surrender to God. Amen. You know, just tell the Lord, here I am. You know, he's there. He's waiting for us to hear from us. And you know, and I just love it, because now I know God's word is, you know, is there for us. We just have to receive it. God's grace is there for us. We just have to say, Lord, we're thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you for your love, thanking you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Amen. And, you know, he hears us. And I like that. Pastors talk about multiplication. Wow. Just think about that. Just, you know, when you begin to meditate on God's word, oh, my goodness. It just lets you know how much God loves us. So, you know, you hear me say this all the time. I'm just so thankful that Pastor takes time out to teach the word. And then we can meditate on the word, because like myself, we wasn't taught the word like this. Amen. It seemed like we was always getting beat across the head that, yeah, you sinned, you did this, and you'll never be good enough. And, you know, it seemed like we was always being put down, and therefore we always had to go to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me, you know. But here, God, he forgave us. Amen. So by his grace, we should say thank you. His mercy, we should say thank you. Amen. That we don't have to depend on man's way, but reach out and allow God to be in our life and direct us. So, Pastor, thank you for that word, because I tell you, it sheds a whole new light in our life if we receive it. Amen. But you got to receive it. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful. So thankful. Amen.
Anyone else? Press one. Anyone else? Press one. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited about God's word. Also, Pastor, you know, I don't know where the Lord's going to lead me, but I just know that it's important, brothers and sisters, that we know the promises that God has given us, and he calls them precious.
Yeah, yes, he does.
And he wants us to be a partakers of that divine nature. That's what God's want. Think about it. He said, here's what I want for you. You know, you ever, maybe you got children, family members, and you said, you know what, man, I went over here. I want you to be partakers of this here. I went this, and I had dinner over here. I love you to have dinner over here. You want them to be part of that. That's what being a partaker is. You want them to take their part in it. I went to this show. It was awesome. You want them to be partakers of that, to enjoy what you enjoy, to see some plays like you've seen it, or see a movie. You want them to be part of what you're part of. Well, yeah. God wants us to be part of his divine nature.
Amen.
He said, if you'll be part of my divine nation, you'll escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because, see, people want to teach you about the world stuff. Slave.
Yeah.
I can less care about a slave. I'm not in slavery. I'm not a slave. I'm a free man. My spirit is free. God, would you be free from that, the lust of the things of the world, religion, tradition. God wants. But anyway, I said I'd have to say this. He said that he want us to have faith in his knowledge and his promises.
Yeah.
So next week, somewhere down the line there, is what we're going to talk about, his precious promises. And he wants us to be partaker. And you're going to have to ask yourself, am I a partaker? Since I know this is what the Father wants now, because he said it. Am I being a partaker of it?
All right. Amen.
Amen. Don't make me go where you live at now, because, you know, sometimes people want you to be a partaker. They say, come have a drink with me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Pastor, why you go there? Yeah, I'm trying to get you to see what I'm talking about when I say partaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come and hang out with me. I want you to be partaker of this event.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, maybe we'll talk about being a partaker, if that's what the Lord say. If not, just say whatever he say. But meanwhile, if anybody else have anything else, I mean, we're here, brothers and sisters. I want you to know we're here. Ain't going nowhere. If you got anything you want to say, anything you want to share.
Amen, amen.
Okay. See, one reason I don't worry about nobody saying anything, because God done gave me enough to say for everybody.
Amen.
But he wants you to be partakers of it. You know, he wants you to be partakers of sharing the word, you know.
Yeah.
Take your part.
Amen.
And he always wanted us to be partakers of it. Why do you think you have drink the Lord's Supper? Because he wants you to be a partaker. Why do you think you eat the flesh? Because he wants you to be a partaker. Why do you think he wants you to have his mind? Because he wants you to be a partaker.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. But he ain't going to make you be partakers. He ain't going to make you do nothing. It's
That's
on your
right.
own free will and accord. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, if nothing else, we still got time now. If nothing else, we're going to call you blessed, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at